Amen. What's up, church? Hey, I want to encourage you, invite somebody to church tomorrow. Could be anybody. Could be a stranger, could be a neighbor, could be a coworker, could be a friend. But one thing that I like to think and say is you never know what's on the other end of an invitation. So somebody who may not go to church or may go to church might invite them in the moment when they need it most. And they need some hope, they need some love, they need some joy in their life, they need some answers in their life. I know I was in that place one time back in college when I needed someone to invite me to church. And it just so happened that Jesus was moving in my life, the Holy Spirit was moving in my life, and those two things collided together that resulted in me in time following Jesus. We have a great service planned. I got some tricks up my sleeve that will hopefully go well, and it'll be fun. It's one of my favorite services of the year, and it'll be a beautiful service, and I just encourage you to invite someone. So we are in Advent. This is our last Sunday of Advent. We are prepping our hearts for Easter. I pray that these messages have done well and you've done well following Jesus of preparing for the next week. In a while ago in Advent, I read a book that talked about little Advent means little Christmas. If you don't prepare a lot for Advent, your experience of Christmas and all the wonder and all the beauty and all that Jesus is doing, you won't quite be ready for it. So today, we're talking about peace. We talked about love the first week. We talked about joy. What's the next one we talked about? Hope. Good job. Today we're talking about peace. Isaiah 26. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates, the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I got a question for you this morning. Do you have peace in your life? First, how would you define peace? And then, do you have peace in your life? I kind of find that we walk around with this low-grade anxiety, this low-grade worry. Sometimes it's not so low-grade, but this worry, this hurry in our lives that we move from one thing to another. Most of our lives are full. Most of our lives are jam-packed and busy, especially this time of year. And so the question is, do we have peace in the midst of our busyness? In the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our worry, in the midst of everything that we have going on in life, do we have peace? See, most of the times, you and I, when we have a spare moment or when we're in a room and we don't want to talk to anybody, maybe a family event or just any event, you'll see a room full of adults with their phones out and you'll be scrolling, you'll be messaging. Now, we pick up our phones and we start scrolling, and we scroll through social media, as whatever avenue is your choice of poison, you will see people hating each other. You'll see people's comments. You'll see people's just rants and things they want to communicate. You'll see the crazy relative posting about politics that you now have to watch and interact with at family Christmas. You will see news about politics, aliens, or drones, or whatever they are. I'm the only one. It's been all right. Bunch of liars. As you see people presenting their perfect lives as you scroll, I saw this one clip on TikTok, speaking of scrolling, that this guy was talking about how people present their perfect lives. We scroll past their workout routines, their cold plunge routines, their morning routines, and they start right away. They wake up at 4 a.m. every single day and do a 90-minute workout. They do the sauna, cold plunge, hot tub, another cold plunge, hot yoga, cold yoga, and they make this amazing breakfast, fresh from their eggs that they just got from their land, and they ground up the wheat to make the bread that they're eating, and everything is perfect. And then they sit after that, and they sit quietly for 4 hours, and they pray, and they meditate, and they plan, and they take everything from their vision board, and they bring it out into real life, and they're chasing after all their visions. They spend 4 hours doing their daily affirmations. And all of it is magically filmed and curated for us to watch. You ever wonder how that happens? Somebody getting out of bed and like, how'd the camera get there? But this is your morning routine you do every day? We see the investment strategies that we're supposed to chase after to be wealthy and rich. We see the crafts. We see the perfectly packed lunches and whatever those lunch boxes are called. We see the perfect way that we're supposed to discipline and lead our kids. And magically, the kids just follow along and are nice the whole time. We see these rhythms that we're supposed to be the best mothers, the best parents, the best fathers in the world. And you're sitting there, scrolling on your phone, probably sitting on your couch, looking at your life, your body, your spouse, your job, your routine, your family, and you're comparing it to some fictional curated videos. And slowly, you begin to give away what peace you had. As it moves from this like place of inspiration, this place of learning, this place of how can I get better, because I know that's why we all watch those videos, and it slowly moves from that place to something that's filled with more despair. It moves from inspiration to something else, like jealousy, comparison, feeling the shame that I can't be like that, that my life doesn't look like that. Comparing our spouses or ourselves to fictional characters that we see on our phones. And I can't help but wonder how much of that is robbing our peace. Right? And then there's real life too. What challenges are keeping peace from being in your life? You have inner thoughts that are driven by anxiety, worry, shame, comparing. And you have just real life that you have to contend with, right? Your finances, your jobs, your place where you go to school, your friendships, the relationships that aren't quite in the place where you would like them to be. Maybe it's just a hot pile of garbage that you're trying to wade through. There's stress from family. There's busyness in lives. There's kids that are struggling. There's parents that are struggling. There's friends that are struggling. The questions of what do I do next with my life? All of that comes flooding in on a daily basis. Are you stressed out yet? Do you have any peace left? Maybe you're sitting going, this is not why I came to church today. So you could remind me of all the things that make me stressed and rob me of my peace. Now I want you to think of a time when you, or a place when you have perfect peace. Like, think about the setting in which you would have perfect peace in. Maybe it's on a mountain, watching the sunrise or sunset. Maybe it's on sitting in a lounge chair on a beach as the waves lap up on shore and you're watching the sun melt into the horizon. And you're sitting there and you're just enjoying life and there's no worries in your mind and you're just existing. in this beautiful place. Now, maybe for you, it's on a chair in your house in front of a crackling fireplace or Netflix with the fireplace going on the TV. Maybe it's in the woods in a hunting stand. Where is that place for you? That place where you can go and you can be and you're sitting there quietly, nothing bothering you. Your phone's away, like nothing is entering your mind. You are just sitting in this peaceful, blissful place. Where is that for you? Whatever you're thinking of, try to get there in the next 6 months. But it's interesting because culturally, peace is usually defined as everything is going well. Everything is going in our favor. The dictionary actually defines peace as a freedom from disturbance. Tranquility. Doesn't that sound nice? Freedom from disturbance, freedom from anything going wrong in your life. And I think we would normally call that peace but it's actually situational peace, right? Situational peace is when everything lines up and everything is going the way that you'd like it to go. My relationship with my spouse is drama-free. It's going great. My relationship with my kids are good. My family's good. We have enough of money to support the lifestyle we want. My job is decent. My friendships are decent. And I would call that I am at peace. But really what we mean to say is all of the situations around me are making it so that I can be at peace. See, even when we're having situational peace, we're still in a place where you could have enough money, you could have the right relationships, you could have a house, you could have everything, and you still don't have peace. See, I don't know about you, but I need a peace that isn't dependent on a situation. It's not dependent on a paycheck. It's not dependent on a relationship. It's not dependent on anything outside of me. I need a peace that's beyond my situations. I need a peace that's bigger than my situations. I need a peace that when trouble does come in life, bigger than that trouble. Do you know this peace? Isaiah 26, I'll read it again. Isaiah is talking to a nation that was put in exile. Isaiah was pleading with them to come back and follow God. See, they were following God and their hearts went astray and they started following all these other things, started chasing after all these other idols. I'm glad we don't know what that's like today, but God sent prophets to his people to say, hey, come back to me. And unfortunately, people didn't listen. So God said, okay, I'm going to remove you from the place that I put you. Hopefully that will change your hearts to come back to me. So Isaiah 26, Isaiah is prophesying about a day when there will be worship, passion, praise, and the broken places of this world would be made right. Isaiah 26, we have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates, the righteous nation may enter. The nation that keeps faith, you will have perfect peace. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you, trust in the Lord forever. Verse 3 is the verse that I want to hang on a little bit. You will have perfect peace. Those whose minds are steadfast, those whose thoughts are fixed on God. On Jesus. That word peace is a Hebrew word, shalom. And that theme of shalom is throughout the entire Bible, and it means something that is complex, but it's complete and whole. It's complex. There's a lot of different parts. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. But shalom is that peace that makes everything complete and whole and working just as it should. Shalom means that everything is restored. Everything is complete. The broken places, the fractured relationships, the anxiety, the worry, all of it is now made whole again in shalom. So we talked last week, we've been talking about in the midst of Christmas story, we find darkness, we find brokenness, we find a hard and oppressed world in which Mary and Joseph and Jesus is born into. We find people are living hard lives. Like, yeah, you can dress up the Christmas story and make it real pretty and real nice and looks nice in the manger scene, but it's actually pretty complicated, and the Christmas story is full of brokenness and pain and darkness all around it. And in that context, the angels burst into the scene. Luke 2:13, the angels suddenly appear. A great company of them. So these shepherds just living their lives, trying to make the ends meet, sitting out in the fields, doing their jobs. A host of angels appear, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." See, Jesus' birth, Jesus' arrival, the thing that we're celebrating next week, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, what Jesus will do. Jesus' birth was the arrival of true shalom in our world, in our lives. It was the beginning of this world being restored and made complete and whole. Now you may be sitting around going, "I don't see a lot of completeness and wholeness yet. I mean, I watch the news and I don't see a lot of completeness and wholeness. People are losing their minds over drones. That doesn't feel really complete to me. People can't make it financially. I can't afford the groceries. That doesn't feel complete and whole to me. My family's a mess. This relationship is broken. This illness has not been healed yet. This diagnosis we're waiting on. That doesn't feel complete and whole, right?" Turn with me to John 14, verse 27. In John 14 through or verse 27, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Time and time again in the Christmas story, angels burst on the scene, an angel shows up, and the thing that they say is, "Don't be afraid." You're going, "Yeah, right. You just came out of nowhere, and I don't know exactly what angels look like, but I imagine they're bright, shiny, big, and scary. But your message is, don't be afraid." Jesus is sitting there, "Hey, look, I know this world has troubles. You have trouble in your life. I have trouble in my life. We have trouble in this world." But Jesus is saying to his followers, "Hey, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you my peace. Yes, there are going to be troubles in the world. It's going to be a mess, but don't be afraid." Why? "Because I'm giving you my spirit. And my spirit is going to live in you. And it's going to give you courage, peace. It's going to sustain you. It's going to give you the way out. It's going to let you know that regardless what happens in this life, I've got you. Jesus says, I'm going to give you my peace. My shalom. My wholeness. My completeness. See, in Christ, Jesus already restores wholeness and completeness between God and humans. Colossians 1:20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whenever things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, shalom, through his blood shed on the cross. You were once far from Christ, and now you have the opportunity to be brought near. Are you experiencing this peace? Are you in your life? Are you experiencing this peace? If you're anything like me, there's places where I am experiencing that peace, and then there's places not so much, right? Can we just be honest? Or maybe you're sitting here this morning, you don't even know what peace is. I think a big thing is a matter of focus. What are we focused on? That piece in Isaiah, what is that piece hinged on? Right? Like, I don't know that Isaiah is preaching to a whole bunch of people that are in oppression, that are oppressed, that they're not in their own land. They are away from their family. They're away from the land that they grew up farming and living in. They're under someone else's rule. So I don't know that Isaiah is going, hey, you're going to have great situational peace. No, they're not. So what is that peace hinged on? You will have perfect peace. You will have perfect shalom, wholeness, completeness. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So you're going to have perfect peace if your mind is fixed on the news. If anybody says yes, come talk to me. You're going to have perfect peace if everything lines up financially in your life and you can afford the life that you'd love to have. You're going to have perfect peace if you have the hottest spouse and they're amazing and wonderful in every way and have no flaws. You're going to have perfect peace if your family operates just like how you think they should. You're going to have perfect peace if you have all the right friends in all the right places that always are at your beck and call and support you and lift you up no matter what. No. Like, all that situational peace, all that goes away. He says, you're going to have perfect peace if you fix your eyes and minds on him. The word steadfast means to lean on completely. To fully rest on. You have perfect peace when you lean on Jesus completely, when you fully rest on him, not on your own abilities, but on him. In Philippians, Paul puts it like this. He puts it a different way. But it's the same concept. Philippians 4, it's a great chapter, so you could just read that this week and you'll be blessed. But Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. What would that look like for you to start arranging your life where you fix your eyes and your thoughts and your mind on those things, on the things of God? He said, whatever you've learned from me or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then what? The God of peace, the God of shalom, will be with you. See, the unwavering peace of Jesus isn't based on a situation. It's based on who Jesus is. It's based on what he's done, what Jesus is doing, even if it's hard to see, and what Jesus will do in heaven in the future. So the question for you, what kind of peace do you have? Where does your peace come from? Does it come from the situation all being okay and right? Now, I don't want to downplay it. That's good peace, right? Like, let's be real. It's great when things are working in life as you think they should. But I think we all could agree we need a bigger peace that shows up when everything goes wrong. That shows up when the struggle is happening in real time. And it's not pretty all the time, right? Like there's a little bit of where we struggle and then we have peace and we struggle, we have peace, we struggle, we have peace. It's this dance back and forth, but it's this peace that gives us hope. It's this peace that fills us with love. It's this peace that is the foundation of our joy. It's the peace in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pain, that we receive from following Jesus, from keeping our minds and our hearts fixed on him, because we know that whatever happens, he's got it. It's that peace that becomes our foundation as a Jesus follower. So my simple question, going into this next week, what are you focusing on? And how does that need to change this week? What places do you need to focus on Jesus over everything else? And what does that look like? Maybe that means being a little more routine in your prayer life. Maybe that means when that anxiety kicks in and that worry kicks in, you're actively switching your mind to going, no, I'm not going to just entertain that thought. I'm going to literally give that thought to Jesus. I can't do anything about it anyway. God's got to do some work here. Maybe instead of focusing on everything you don't have, you focus on everything you do have. And you express thankfulness and gratitude to Jesus for all that he's given you. Maybe when you show up to family Christmas party and there's the relative, maybe relatives that are a struggle for you. Maybe you walk in going, yeah, I already know they're going to be a struggle. That's just who they are. I'm going to focus on Jesus and I'm going to focus on loving them as best I can where they're at. I'm not going to let them disrupt my peace. What is it for you? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you of how you've been preparing our hearts for next week. With love, with hope, with joy, with peace, Jesus, let these themes be our foundation. And Jesus, this week, especially at moments when we may struggle with a relationship or struggle with anxiety or struggle with worry or whatever the other million things that we struggle with, Jesus, I pray that you remind us that you give peace. And when our hearts and our minds are fixed on you, when we are thinking and filling our minds and hearts with you, that's when peace shows up regardless of the situation. So Jesus, lead us, give us whatever prompts we need to keep our eyes focused on you this next week. In your holy name we pray.